We can jump right into it if you're not recording.
That's an interesting thought.
I mean,
I love how we start every episode with us fighting. That's our brand at this point.
No.
In the times of brick phones, Tamagotchis, and curtain bangs, the 90s kids cried out for a badass. She was Xena, the warrior princess. The kicks, the moves, the nostalgia, the queerness. Xena made us gay.
But anyway, we will try to kind of move things along. And one of the things that maybe we would do to try to move things along is perhaps change the format a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So let us pitch the new format to y'all, and you can let us know what your thoughts are once this episode is out.
Yeah, so the thought behind maybe changing things up in season two, because actually now we're recording the last episode of season one of Xena Warrior Princess, and next time it will be season two, so that's a good time to change things up. So the thought behind it is maybe not try to spend as much time recapping the episode for you, maybe letting you either remember, draw it out from the attics of your brain, or just maybe rewatch with us, but maybe spend more time speaking about themes and characters and all things gay about the episode, because that's why we're all here in the first place. So maybe we would try to recap very quickly at the beginning of the episode and then spend more time just discussing our theories, pet peeves, iconic gay moments, and such.
Yeah, so that's our idea at the moment for the next season. As we said, we'd love to get some feedback from you. Mm-hmm. Does this sound good? Do you have any questions, concerns, wishes? Anything you want to share with us?
Get off your chest, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. You can reach out to us on Instagram at Xena Made Me Gay and let us know what you think.
But that being said, this episode is still a classic Xena Made Me Gay episode.
Yes, yes, we're gonna stick with the old format for sure for this episode. So the entire season one of our podcast will follow the same structure, and then with your blessing, we will change things up for season two.
All right,
it's time for the season finale of season one.
Yeah,
of Xena Warrior Princess, and the episode is episode 24, called "Is There a Doctor in the House?"
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the episode will reveal the answer to whether there is indeed a doctor in the house.
Exciting.
I know. So we begin with some shots of a creepy looking forest with the camera moving really erratically and everything is in some kind of a blur.
Mm-hmm.
Some soldiers run by, and then we see Xena and Gabrielle as they emerge from behind one of the trees. They were hiding so that the soldiers don't see them. So they're on their way to Athens, and this is the shortest route, but it goes through a territory that's at war. And this war, according to Xena, is even more senseless than most. There's a lot of competition, so let's see. It's a civil war, which is apparently Ares's favorite. I mean, he did grow up in a pretty dysfunctional family, so I kind of get it.
Aw, poor Ares. But yeah, I love how our gals are just chatting while they're sneaking through this forest where multiple combats are going on at the same time. We can hear people fighting, and the way they're walking, it seems that they're trying to be discreet, but they're talking loudly to each other. It really reminds me, my cat, like, sometimes he tries to sneak up on me, and he does that, like, sneaking thing, as cats do, usually through the tall grass, but there's no tall grass in my living room. So he's just like, if I move very slowly, no one is gonna see me.
Oh, sweetheart.
Yeah.
I think an important side note is that Alice's cat is orange.
Yes, yes. And he has all the typical traits of the orange cat. So they're going through the forest and they're chatting. What's next?
Yeah. Then they hear some moaning and Xena whips out her sword ready to defend. But then the camera pans and we see that it's Effany. Mm-hmm. The grumpy Amazon we met in episode 10, Hooves and Hurlets, where a bunch of hot women were trying to lure Gabrielle to the dark side with scissoring. check that episode out if you haven't listened to that one.
It's a good one.
It is a good one. And we see that, oh no, Effany is pregnant.
Ouch.
We don't know yet at this point of the episode who the father is, mm-hmm. but we will find out, mm-hmm. and we will wish to unlearn that information.
Yeah, I don't actually remember if I connected two and two together, or I just remember who the baby daddy is from the previous rewatches, but yeah, seeing that Amazon succumb to the chains of patriarchy is kind of sad.
Yeah, I mean, being pregnant is not an inherently patriarchal act.
That's true, but being pregnant is this in the standard family formation. I don't know.
I mean, we'll see how standard that family is very soon.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that point soon, but for now, we just see that she's pregnant. And at first, we assume that Effany is moaning because she's in labor. But it also turns out that she has a pretty nasty gash on her forehead, which Xena quickly looks at and declares that it'll heal.
Okay. Sure.
And Effany does say that she's already had some pains. So she might be in labor in the end. And Effany also says that the baby daddy was killed a few days ago and she's been just hiding out in the forest.
Ugh, tough episode for Effany.
Yeah. Gabrielle does her, oh no, why do wars exist thing. And at some point, Gabrielle literally says that someone should just stop it. Mm-hmm. And Xena's like, okay. She's just like, okay, I'm gonna go find a safe place for Effany to have her baby, and then I'm gonna stop this war.
Cool. Nice plan.
I mean, sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super funny how Gabrielle is like, I did not mean it as a challenge, but actually the way she phrased it, it seemed that she kind of did. It was like, oh no, all this senseless suffering, if only there could be someone who could stop it. And Xena is like, yeah, sure, I'll do it, babe.
Yeah, I wonder how often that happens in their relationship generally, where Gabrielle is like, I'm not gonna directly ask, but I'm just gonna be like, oh, you know what I really would have wanted if it were possible? This thing. Oh, it's such a shame that nobody can just like magically go and bring me the thing. And Dina's like, yep, yeah, I get it. You can. That's fine.
I can see that. I can see that happening a lot. So yeah, then Xena wanders through the woods a little further and sees kind of like a check-in meeting of a general and about five of his soldiers, which in this world constitutes an army, I would say. Uh-huh. And the agenda is like, we're gonna win this war and finally be able to worship our gods. And after that, general sets his KPIs, which is like spill their blood, and the soldiers leave. And then the general notices like one enemy soldier on foot in front of him, alone in the woods.
And he starts chasing down this enemy soldier on a horse. So the general's on a horse, the enemy soldier is just on foot. Xena notices that. She chases after the general, chasing after the enemy soldier. And she throws her chakram to unhorse the general. It seems like she's just gonna stop this war one person at a time.
Yep.
So she walks up to the unhorsed general, who's unconscious. And for a moment, it seems like she's gonna wait for him to wake up in order to interrogate him or something. But then, bam! She just takes out her sword and plunges it straight into the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I did not expect that.
Yep. Like, I mean, that's one way to stop the war.
Sure. And we cut straight to the intro. So there's this intrigue. Like, did she just randomly kill this dude? It looks like she did.
Mm-hmm.
But after the intro, we find out that she didn't kill the guy. She just injured his shoulder. But like, she really put her whole body weight into that sword plunge. So the guy's shoulder must be entirely fucked. But he seems quite chill for some reason. And she just takes him and Ephany to this healing temple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a temple of the injured general's enemies. So he's not sure about this whole situation of going in there. But Xena doesn't leave him much of a choice. So he has to go in. But also, like, all this time I'm wondering, does he not know that she was the one who fucked him up? Like, that's impossible, right? Like, she was right there. Okay, he was unconscious when she raised her sword. But I'm pretty fucking sure by the time the sword was inside his body, he woke the fuck up.
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
He first passed away after falling off his horse. Then he quickly got a pain shock and passed away again. It's possible.
Okay. So Xena tells Ephany that even though her baby daddy is dead, she must go on. And Gabrielle chips into this pep talk saying that Ephany's friends and family are there. And Ephany's like, what the fuck do you mean? And Gabrielle's like, I'm your sister Amazon, remember?
Aww.
No. And for a moment there, Ephany feels no pain because all she can think of is smacking Gabrielle across the face.
Yeah, that's fair. I saw that look on Ephany's face also. And you gotta love how Gabrielle conveniently once in a while remembers that she's an Amazon princess.
So the injured general is unceremoniously shoved into the wounded enemies area. And one of the soldiers recognizes him and is like, oh, General Blah Blah. We're just gonna, he has a name obviously, but we're just gonna keep referring to him as General Blah Blah because we can be fucked. And General Blah Blah shushes the soldier because he wants to remain incognito and is just pretending to be a foot soldier.
So General Blah Blah is actually perfect for him for remaining incognito. So yeah.
I mean, the Blah Blah part I think he can reveal. It's the general part that he's concerned about.
Yeah.
It kind of does still defeat the point. So Xena hears someone moan pretty loudly and she goes to investigate. And there's some twink who's trying to move an injured guy to the altar. Xena chastises him because a person with such a serious wound should not be moved. And she also asks the twink his name.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that it's Hippocrates.
I was laughing so hard when I heard it.
You didn't remember? Because I remembered very well that Hippocrates was good.
Didn't remember. I was like, Hippocrates? Nice. Awesome. Great. I mean, like, the dude who was, like, literally called the father of medicine. It's great to know how he uncovered all this knowledge that he shared with the world. He spent, like, a day with Xena. That's it. That's enough.
I mean, we all know that Xena invented and then immediately perfected medicine just on her own.
Yes.
All these centuries later, we still have not reached her level of expertise, unfortunately.
That's true. That's true. Because, like, I don't think that any doctor today could operate with, like, dirty tools in the middle of a forest and save lives in, like, 5 minutes. As Xena can, so that's fair.
Yeah, with like 110% success rate. All of her patients survive, but like an extra 10% also like becomes hotter, more intelligent, their mental health improves.
Yeah, their children are more beautiful, as it's like they improve the genetic line down the line.
Yeah, their orgasms are more intense and easier to achieve.
Thank you, Xena, for making the lives of ancient world and our world better.
Yeah. So, Hippocrates, who at that time has not yet learned everything he will from Xena, is just kind of whining. And he says that he's just following orders of the head priest, whose name is Galen, who also is like a historical figure, I found out.
Interesting. Who was he?
So he was a Roman and Greek physician and surgeon and philosopher, because back in the day, you know, you could do it all.
Had multiple gigs, you have to have multiple gigs. Yeah.
The economy was tough back then. Not like today.
No.
So he was considered to be one, he is considered to be one of the most accomplished of all medical researchers of antiquity, and influenced the development of disciplines such as anatomy, physiology, pathology, pharmacology, neurology, all that stuff. Like, he contributed to the understanding of the circulatory system, pulmonary circulation, all kinds of things. Yeah, and we wouldn't know from this episode because he just behaves like a total idiot.
Yeah. But again, like, even if you're a total idiot, you spend one day with Xena, and after that you can go on to be famous.
And in a classic Xena fashion, Hippocrates and Galen lived like 300 years apart.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's how it always goes. Xena sees Galen and asks, like, oh, is this your head priest? And Hippocrates is like, yeah, that's him. So she walks up to the head priest and tells him that the gods don't care if the people in this temple live or die. And I'm like, do they not? Like, it's a genuine question, because in this universe, there are literal gods of, like, literal areas of life. And I assume there are some healing gods. Like, here, Asclepius is mentioned a lot. And, like, does he not care? Like, what? I'm wondering.
That's an interesting question. I think that's going to be further developed in the later seasons. But I think that the gods here, like, they have more or less the same concept as, like, superheroes in the Boys universe. Like, the same vibe. So, like, they're, like, those super famous power figures that people worship, but they mostly do something nice if it's self-serving to them. So, I would assume that Asclepius kind of, like, if there is a gathering of villagers that make a very big donation, I mean, like, sacrifice, and they're like, heal this poor innocent child, and the poor innocent child is really hot, Then Asclepius is like, yeah, I'll do that. But like not here, you know, with this messy war and a lot of, you know, like it's a lot of work for him and like not a lot of clout, you see?
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. And that, I think, checks out in terms of the relationships that Xena herself has had with gods. So that makes sense. So anyway, the head priest, I'm just going to keep referring to him as head priest instead of Galen, because like he has pretty much nothing to do with the historical Galen anyway.
No.
So the head priest is like, what the fuck do you know, harlot?
Okay then.
Yep. And before Xena can answer anything, someone carries in a very bloody man who cannot breathe and is dying. The head priest tries to have the dying guy be put in with the other enemy soldiers, but Xena's like, nope, put him right down here. And we see that the dude has an arrow sticking out kind of at the same time out of his chest and neck. Like geometrically doesn't really work, but that's what's happening.
I mean, geometry isn't the biggest problem of this episode.
Fair enough. So Xena asks Hippocrates to get her a hollow reed and a few rags, and then she takes the boob dagger out of her bra. Aww. Like, I was genuinely so happy that the boob dagger is back yet again. Every time, it's like, it warms my heart to see it.
Yeah, the boob dagger is actually a recurring character at this point.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. I know that the chakram is the real star of the show, but boob dagger will always be just this like special girl in my life.
Yeah, like in the beginning of this episode, like guest starring boob dagger.
Yes, exactly. So Xena uses the dagger to puncture the lung of the dying guy, and she puts a reed through it, as she says, at precisely the right angle. So geometry is important all of a sudden. And the dude just starts breathing again. Xena then asks for cobwebs because they will stop the bleeding. And I was like, what? How? Cobwebs to stop the bleeding?
Yeah, I was thinking that maybe they'll use like, I don't know, medical glue. Sometimes you have like, glue the skin together with like this substance. I mean, in a world where no one ever dies of sepsis, at least when Xena touches them, anything's possible.
Yeah, and I mean, I was so flabbergasted by the idea of putting cobwebs on wounds to stop them from bleeding that I like Googled it. And it turns out that it is apparently a fairly common practice, like it was in ancient Greece and Rome, thankfully not today, but back then, yeah, like they used cobwebs to stop bleeding. It's fascinating.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Then there's it's an educational episode today.
Yeah.
Then there's this hilarious moment when two twinks, I assume one of them is Hippocrates, but I genuinely cannot tell them apart. They look exactly
they're very
the same.
Similar. Yeah.
So those two twinks are watching Xena save the dude's life. And Gabrielle is also standing next to her. And one of them is like, amazing. And the other one nods and is like, she is beautiful. At which point Gabrielle, who is hearing literally everything that they're saying because they're like right behind her, she turns to look back at them with this exasperated expression on her face and literally just says, men. It's so good.
Yeah, it's an awesome little moment, but not nearly as awesome as Xena performing basically open heart surgery, or like at least like a complicated surgery on this wounded guy with the whole temple watching, because at this point they're like 20 people gathered around them. And yeah, this episode is gonna have a lot of this Xena being Dr. House kind of moments.
I mean, still, I think, even though it's the ancient world, there's there are fewer instances of malpractice in this episode than in a typical Dr. House episode.
That's true. That's true. At least they're treating the patient knowing what's wrong with the patient, which is not always the case.
Not insulting the patient while they're at it.
It's true.
As I said, things have not improved since those times. So Zina then moves on to another injured soldier and she starts sewing him up. His arm is wounded. She's sewing that up. And the two twinks just sit down right behind her and are like, can we watch? And Zina, who's heard that question way too many times in her life, tells him to go do something useful instead.
It's interesting to me. Were there no capable physicians in the series besides Zina? I'm trying to remember. Did we see anyone treating people beside, putting compresses on wounds? Or Zina is, just basically the only doctor, the only medical practitioner in her time. And then she passes some of her knowledge to Hippocrates. And that's how we get the modern Western medicine.
I genuinely think that's the case.
Okay, and makes sense.
When the title of the episode is there a doctor in the house, and the house is a synecdoche for the entire universe here. Starting from this episode, is a doctor in the house. So the twinks move towards someone, but Zina tells them that guy actually cannot be saved, so they should move on to someone else. And she tells them to separate those who can be saved from those who can't. Mm-hmm. And when one of those twinks asks her how they're supposed to know the difference, she just tells them that they have to choose. The twink is in full panic mode. So she just tells them to go to help Effany, who apparently also has a broken leg. At no point before this did it seem like she had a broken leg.
Yeah, I don't know. Effany can't catch a break in this episode. She's a little bit like, there is this Russian expression, krasnaya pashechka. It's when someone just has everything bad happen, piled onto them. It was the baby daddy dying, her having a head wound, a broken leg, and being in labor, and having to deal with Gabrielle all at the same time.
So Zina sends Gabrielle to General Blah Blah to change his bandages. And Gabrielle apologizes in advance, saying that medicine is not her strong suit. But in comparison to Zina, it's literally nobody's strong suit.
Yep, that's well established.
And so General Blah Blah then asks Gabrielle what she is actually good at, channeling his inner Bianca Del Rio. What do you do successfully? Quickly. And she tells him that she's a bard. General Blah Blah then goes, well, tell me a story then. And Gabrielle tells him a story of this king who was a great hunter and decided to go hunt in the forest of Artemis. And Artemis got pissed and turned the guy into a deer. And apparently at first the guy turned deer was pretty peeved, but gradually he realized that being a deer is fucking awesome. And after some time, Artemis cooled down and turned the guy back into his human form. And as a result of this deer experience, the guy became a much better king because he had all these chill deer skills. And General Blah Blah says that the story is pretty, but it has nothing to do with real life.
Yeah. I would say the story is awesome the way you're retelling it. I'm very much into it. But when Gabrielle starts her self-righteous stale storytelling. I just want to start banging my head on my laptop screen. Like, I don't know. At this point, it's super interesting to me, like, whether Gabrielle is supposed to be, like, this great bard and we just don't get her classic storytelling style and we're in the wrong here. Or is she generally terrible and, like, her thinking that she's a great bard is, like, this biggest self-delusion of the series? And the latter would be such a cool testament to the writers of the series, because that's, like, such an interesting character trait. Like, a character that, like, goes around saying, like, oh, I'm not much good with anything else, but, like, I can tell stories. And then she tells a story and you're like, oh, please stop. That's painful.
Yeah. Ooh. As much as I want to believe that that's true, it seems like it's not, given how other people have reacted to Gabrielle's storytelling before, especially in the Homer episode.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, I came. Every time she opens her mouth. But yeah, it maybe can be a headcanon. So a few moments later, there are two seriously injured men who are brought in at the same time. And so Xena calls Gabrielle and says that they'll have to alternate between the two.
Yeah. And what happens next is Xena's amazing multitasking performance. At the same time, she A, treats the guy with a punctured lung with the help of a wooden stick and a pig's bladder. B, treats the guy with a hole in his neck with the help of a few bandages. C, argues with the head priest who comes and orders the soldiers to drag Xena out of his temple. And D, fights off the soldiers, even though she has no sword, it was used to brace Ephany's leg. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be fair, using the sword would have been kind of counterproductive anyway, because Xena doesn't want to have even more injured people to deal with. Still, in a rare moment of realism, one of the wounded guys does actually die.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that Xena was ventilating with a pig's bladder.
Mm-hmm.
And Gabrielle is all melodramatic and literally goes, why?
Because he had a hole in his neck?
Or like, yeah. But it's just, like, it's so melodramatic. It's just goofy.
Mm.
And so Xena just has to console her and explain that people dying is kind of part of the deal if you're a doctor. I mean, not if you're, like, I don't know, a dermatologist, but even then, like,
But, like, we have to remember that this is the first time where the concept of being a doctor is introduced in this universe. So it could be confusing for Gabrielle.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. So, after this incredible performance, Xena goes around looking at the wounded and has a chat with General Blah Blah. General says that Gabby is a swell gal and asks Xena why she brought her into this war zone. And Xena is like, bitch, please, you started this whole thing. And General Blah Blah is defending the war because his enemies did not let him worship his gods.
Yeah, and he's like, we're just securing our freedom from those butchers.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty accurate.
Like, that language is used today.
Yep.
It's
yep.
so recognizable.
Absolutely. And the series really actually has, like, with all the humor and all the nonsense that's going on, when they're, like, verbatim what the baddies are saying, defending their actions, they're like, yeah, they're saying the same thing today, literally. So yeah, Xena is like, yeah, I saw what you did with their village. It was a total bloodbath. No woman, no child. Like, you killed everybody, so don't give me that. And General is kind of left a little apprehensive, like, thinking, like, maybe war is not such an awesome thing. I don't know. No, it totally is. What is she saying?
Yeah, again, it just makes me so glad that we've evolved past the times when whole populations would get annihilated under claims of securing one's freedom. It's so, so heartwarming that that is not happening anywhere in the world today.
That's just sad.
Yeah. So we then see Gabrielle tending to some wounded soldiers, and one of the twinks just fawns over her bedside manner.
And then it's time for the ultimate war zone hospital movie scenes. We need to cut off someone's leg because it's infected. So don't worry, it's gonna be gruesome, but the guy is not gonna feel any pain because apart from inventing medicine, Xena also invented anesthesia. So she uses her five-finger punch. Yeah, so after we have that gruesome scene of cutting off a soldier's leg, Gabrielle is just walking through the temple, and one totally healthy-looking and capable-looking dude, who has sort of like a scratch on his forehead, grabs Gabrielle by her arms and says that he left his kid somewhere outside the temple, and for some reason, Gabby has to go get him. Like, why? Like, I don't know. Like, the dude really looks like he, like, barely has one scratch. He looks totally capable of going out there and getting his kid himself. And I understand that, like, out there is war and dangerous, but why should Gabrielle do it?
It makes absolutely no sense. Yeah, I don't understand why they at least, like, didn't make the guy look more wounded.
Yeah, like, make the guy with a cut-off leg.
Exactly, yeah. but no, this one is just like, hey!
You know, I left my kid. I thought that I left my wallet, but no, I left my kid, like, down there somewhere by the trees. Can you go grab him?
And Gabrielle's like, sure! A really weird decision there.
Yeah, but then, because we can't catch a break in this episode, literally, Effany is starting to go into some serious labor pains, and General Blah Blah sits with her and asks what the fuck was she doing in a war zone, and Effany says that her and her husband wanted their child to be born in Athens because the people there are more tolerant. Ta-da-da-dum. Also really nice to see that people are more tolerant in bigger cities. Whether it's bigger cities in ancient Greece or now, it's kind of like the same deal. That's kind of sweet.
Yeah, it's a cute touch, I thought. I like it when Xena does subtext in creative ways. Also, during that conversation, it turns out that it was General Blah Blah's side that killed Effany's baby daddy, which makes things real awkward between them.
Yeah, so then for the 10th time this episode, someone brings in a wounded person and yells, "We need help!" But plot twist, this time, a wounded person is Gabrielle.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep, she looks in shock and seriously injured, so seriously that she wants to pass her Amazon rite of caste to Effany, but Effany won't take it. She's like, nah, I've been through too much this episode. Leave me alone.
Aww. Yeah, and again, I wish Gabrielle looked more injured. Like, we see Xena sew something up on her chest, but it doesn't look like a near lethal injury at all. We only know that it's this bad because of Gabrielle's super pale face color and her labored breathing. That's the only thing that, like, indicates that it's actually that serious.
Yeah.
The wound itself doesn't look that impressive.
And she looks like, I don't know, she more looks like maybe she has been ill for several weeks, like some horrible disease, and that's, like, I don't know. She looks like a person dying of pneumonia, not a chest wound.
Yeah, or like maybe it looks like she's like lost a lot of blood, but then where's the wound that made her lose that much blood, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, Xena helps Gabrielle, but there's only so much she can do for her at the moment. So after patching another twink who got caught in the crossfire, Xena kneels.
One of the two twinks.
One of the two twinks, yeah.
So at one point, yeah.
I differentiated them in this way. There's one twink who's Hippocrates.
Yes.
And another twink who's, I think, a young lover of the head priest. Because when he gets injured, like in my head canon is that. Because when he gets injured, it's the first time when the head priest looks genuinely concerned and is like even turning to Zeta, like, you have to heal him. And that second twink actually is more twinky. He's like very sweet. And I'm like, I can see what's happening there.
Interesting, interesting. I like that.
Yeah, me too. So Zeta kneels near Gabrielle's bed and says, I'm sorry. And this is kind of heartwarming. And we can see Zeta like being genuinely very concerned for Gabrielle at this moment.
Yeah, Zena's voice breaks a little when she says, I'm sorry, and it's very touching. Like, Lucy Lawless's acting generally is awesome, but in this episode, she just gives such a great performance.
Yeah, that's one of her strong suits. She's, like, she's a very good comedic actress, and I think that most of the time she plays Zena like that. Like, she has a sense of humor to her, but she can switch to this very serious drama in an instant, and, like, not a lot of actors can do that. So after that, we're left wondering whether Gabby will survive this episode or not. But the screenwriters decide that there's too little drama in this episode. So then the temple walls start to tremble because now the temple is being literally attacked by catapults caught in the crossfire. So like now we're in a building that's literally falling apart. Good times. So the temple almost comes down crushing. There is like dust coming off the ceiling, and Zeta tells Hippocrates to gather everyone and lead them out of the temple. And he has concerns for the patients that cannot be moved, and Zeta promises to stay with them. And Hippocrates is like, but you're gonna die. And she's like, cynic. And that made me wonder, was Hippocrates really a cynic?
Yeah, we're continuing with our educational elements of this episode. I hope you're enjoying those.
Yeah. So in fact, he wasn't, but he definitely appeared in two dialogues of Socrates, who heavily influenced the cynic school of philosophy. So I guess we can count that as a little bit of an Easter egg.
Sure. I mean, we're kind of playing 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon here with the cynics and Hippocrates, but you know. But thanks for looking that up, because I also immediately thought of like, oh, like is that a reference to the real Hippocrates? And I think it's more just the reference to it being ancient Greece.
Yeah, like, it was a thing. It was a thing in ancient Greece, and we're naming it.
Good enough.
Yeah. So, anyway, General Blah Blah is tasked with getting Ephany out of the decaying temple, but Ephany is like, nope, the baby is coming now. So now we're, like, in a temple that's falling apart with a lot of injured people around us, and Ephany is giving birth now. Good times.
Love it when that happens.
Yeah. So General Blah Blah is kind of trying to console Ephany and like yelling like, you should push, something like that. She shuts him down, and then the General Blah Blah says, this is going to be a really healthy, strong centaur. So yeah, Ephany's baby daddy was a centaur. So in the midst of this drama, Ephany literally needs to give birth to a horse.
Do what you will with that information. Like the mental images that this might produce in your head. We do not take liability for that. I mean, actually, like that makes me wonder, is being a centaur such a dominant gene that if you mix a human and a centaur, you just get a centaur all like every time?
Or is it just like you throw a dice basically?
Yeah, but so it seems like as soon as General Blah Blah figured out that the baby daddy was a centaur, he was like, well, the baby is also going to be a centaur.
Or maybe he just saw that Ephany's babies freakishly big, like her belly is big.
That's another complaint that I have, is that so by the end of the episode, the baby is going to be born, and we're going to see the size of that baby.
Oh, right. Oh,
and
my
that
God.
That baby is enormous. Absolutely. Like,
like that's literally a baby
big.
Horse. Like a baby horse with a little human on top of it.
Yes. Yes. And so Effie's belly should have been like three times as large. So
true.
No, I don't accept that. The one thing that I thought was funny was that when General Blabla reveals that he knows about the centaur thing, Effie goes all defensive and asks whether he's got a problem with that. And he's like, no, some of my best friends are centaurs. Centaurs are brave, and I admire that.
No, that's a cute touch, and that's a cute touch, yeah. Like that this, basically a relationship between a human and a centaur also is considered sort of like queer in this universe. I mean, I don't make the rules.
Yes. I get what you're saying. It's just killing me.
I guess she was into it. I mean.
Yeah, I hope so. Otherwise, it's a much sadder story.
Anyway, Ebony is giving birth, and it's not going well, but help is on the way because Xena takes one look at her and says that she needs to perform a cesarean, which I would say it's a reasonable idea at this point. Like, the alternative seems much worse.
So this time, I got curious. we're just throwing education at y'all at every opportunity. So I looked up the history of the cesarean. Mm-hmm. And it appears that it indeed was done in Roman times, but the mother pretty much never survived.
Yep. And like,
ouch.
Which makes sense, actually.
It does.
Because,
yeah.
Like, once I was curious, like, about childbirth, I think maybe in the age where I kind of was considering that for myself, not anymore. And I was like, if, like, the labor pains are so great, like, maybe, like, just, we should just perform cesareans on everybody. Like, what's the problem? You just cut it up and, like, take the baby out. Yeah, and then I think, looked up of, like, how many layers of everything should be cut, and muscles, and, like, everything for you to just,
and
like,
bones
get
sometimes.
To this. Yes, and I'm like, yeah, I get why it's not done regularly, and like, definitely if we can imagine like it being done in those circumstances, and there's no Xena around, like I can imagine that, like, yeah, the mother pretty much always dies. Actually, coming back to my favorite character in the series, there is a legend that actually Julius Caesar was born via cesarean, like hence the name.
Well, no, that is a false etymology, which is what I found out.
No, I know. Like, it is a legend, but, like, it's actually not that yet.
Yeah. But you said, hence the name, but that's not mm-hmm. the case. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, the way that we know that he wasn't born through a cesarean is that his mom was mm-hmm. alive after his birth.
Yeah, which wouldn't been the case.
Yeah.
That's true.
Side note, you haven't seen This Is Going to Hurt, right?
Mm-mm.
It's a British miniseries with Ben Whishaw, where he plays a doctor who works in a maternity ward.
Yeah? It's a birth control series?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Like, they really, like, show you all of the, like, cutting up the whole situation that sometimes is required. It's a really great series.
I should watch it, actually. Yeah, it's
like Ben Whishaw is awesome there, and the series is great, but
No, I can imagine. Yeah. Yikes. Mm. Yikes.
Mm.
Anyway, getting back to our humorous series. General Blah Blah and Hippocrates stay behind to help Xena with the operation. So the cesarean that she needs to perform. And for the first time in this episode, we see a knife being sterilized over flames. Guess the medical progress happens gradually as we go along.
No, but we saw Xena do it right before cutting off some dude's leg. She sterilized a whole sword at that point.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, the sterilizing over the fire that they've got down.
So Xena uses that magic sterilized knife to, like, just... And, like, it's super quick. She's just like, pop! And behold, there's a centaur that, like, is being taken out of Ephany's belly. And Ephany is conscious throughout this whole time.
Yeah, which you're supposed to be, I think, during a cesarean.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, also, she's not even screaming thanks to Xena's great anesthesiology skills.
Yeah, and so earlier in the episode, we saw her do her five-finger death punch that was, like, magically not a death punch anymore and instead performed anesthesia. This time she doesn't do that. She literally just tells Ephany to stare at a candle, and she tells Ephany, you will feel no pain. So I guess she uses hypnosis? Xena indeed has many skills.
Yeah, maybe just her presence is enough. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. But again, like, holy shit, that baby centaur is massive.
So, baby centaur is born. Everyone is happy. Everyone is giddy. But then we remember two things. First thing, Gabrielle is dying. Second thing, the temple is still being demolished. So for a moment, it seems that all is lost when some soldiers run into the temple with a burning desire to kill them all. So, like, I guess, like, the soldiers that were trying to kind of demolish the temple, they're like, okay, fuck it, we'll just go in and kill everyone manually. For some moment, it seems that all is lost when some soldiers run into the temple with a burning desire to kill them all, but they happen to be General Blah Blah's soldiers, and he decides single-handedly that this war is over, and he says to set up negotiations. So I guess in a world where armies consist of, like, 25 people, it's a likely outcome?
Yeah, that was really unexpected for me, because when we found out that the dude was a general, I didn't realize that he was the general. Like, he is the one who calls the shots. Like, I thought at least, like, there would be some, I don't know, like, local king or some shit like that. Yeah. No, it's just him.
Apparently not. No, apparently not. Yeah, but we come back to Gabrielle, who's still very much on the brink of death, and suddenly starts to kind of contort her body as if she's starring in the movie The Exorcist. I don't know, maybe the gods kind of remembered that there's a job of healing people. Like, for a moment I was thinking, like, oh, is Asclepius, like, is it his way of healing? He's just, like, contorting her body, and then she's like, oh, I'm all good now. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it just looked like a weird seizure to me. Yeah. But she does that for some time, and then she just goes numb and stops moving. Seems like she stops breathing.
Yeah, she seems like she's dead, and there is this long and heart-wrenching scene of Gabrielle being dead for, like, 5 minutes and Xena trying to call for her. It's very uncomfortable to watch in a way. It's clear that Xena cries, like, as a person who lost a loved one, not a friend. And at the end, Xena ends up beating Gabrielle's chest so hard that it kind of counts as a heart massage, I guess. That's what ends up happening. And she brings her to life. It's not very logical, but it's a very emotional scene.
Yeah, I think we basically see Xena invent CPR because she, like, breathes down air into Gabby's lungs, and she pounds her chest with her fist. But yeah, I agree. It's a very emotional scene. I remember it well, I think, since that first time that I saw it as like a 6-year-old. And I actually teared up watching it this time. It's intense.
It is intense. And yeah, Lucy Lawless's acting again is great there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all is well in the end. Gabrielle is alive. We end up with General Blah Blah realizing who wounded him, but he's saying that Xena taught him so much with this wound. And Hippocrates is writing down Xena's wisdom for future generations. And that's how we have modern medicine.
No, I think those writings were lost, and that's why we're all still fucked.
Yeah, maybe, actually.
Had those writings been better preserved, there would have been no COVID.
Yeah, we see Gabrielle waking up and looking at the little center baby, and it's like this aw moment, but to be honest, the baby's freakishly looking.
Yeah, it sure is, but then I think that most babies are ugly.
I guess, newborns, yeah.
And that concludes the episode. Mm-hmm. And we get some fun credits at the end. And it says, being that war is hell, a lot of people were harmed during the production of this motion picture, parentheses, but since television is a dramatic medium of make-believe, all casualties removed their prosthetic makeup and went home unscathed.
Okay, but I'll take that. That's something new.
Yeah, exactly. So what was the gayest moment of the episode?
Yeah, I guess it has to be the scene where Xena thinks that Gabrielle is dying and tries to
is dying or is dead alive.
Is I mean
well yeah like is on
both
the
yeah kind of but yeah I think that Xena, actually, that's a good question. I think that Xena not being able to accept that Gabrielle is dead, it's kind of like the gayest moment for me because, again, like Xena mm-hmm. is shown as someone who seen some shit, and usually she knows how to let go, and she has like loved ones die and friends die, and like it's all very hard, but. With Gabrielle, we can see that Gabrielle is such an enormous presence in her life. Like, that so much of Xena's identity is rooted in her love for Gabrielle that she's not able to accept that.
I think for me, I'll go in a different direction, in a more lighthearted direction, and pick the moment when Gabrielle turns back at the twinks and is like, men.
Yeah, that's a good one also.
Yeah, so that would be my gayest moment. Mm-hmm. And how many chakrams out of 10 would you give this episode?
It's interesting because when I rewatched it, when I just did a casual rewatch of season one recently, I actually didn't enjoy it as much. But now when I kind of was like putting down my notes, I enjoyed it more. So I would say it's a solid 7 for me. Like, it had its moments. It was interesting. It had, like, its naive things. And it was a little bit, like, I don't know. It was a little bit, like, more drama. We have to create more drama. Like, every second something was happening in this episode, which it didn't need to have that. But also it was kind of comical in a way because of it. So I would say a 7.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually enjoyed it a lot, and I thought that the dramatic moments that the episode has had were done really, really well. Like, they don't always quite hit that hard, but here it was spectacularly done. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't ready for the extent to which the way that they talk about war in this episode hits like today. I even did like a double take, like, what, like, are they referencing anything specific at that point also? Like, I don't know, the Gulf War. It seems to come from such a real place. I guess that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That it's not just general ruminations about war. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. It's something very much rooted in the real world. So I'll give it an 8 myself.
Cool.
And that concludes season 1 of Xena Warrior Princess and of Xena Made Me Gay. So next time we're going to see you, we're going to be discussing season 2 for the first time and likely in a slightly different format if you think that that's a good idea.
Meanwhile, thank you for listening.
Yes. Hope we're gonna talk to you soon when we will be discussing episode 1 of season 2 of Xena Warrior Princess called Orphan of War. Take care, everyone.
Yes, thanks. Bye.